Hi. Love to pray for us as we get even further into Ruth 2. Oh, Lord, I have a lot of joy this morning hearing women plumbing the depths of your word. And every part of this story points to you. I pray even this day, Lord, that more of us would take shelter and run to you as our refuge under your wings, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you teach us, open our hearts to respond to the truth of who the Father, the Son, and you, Holy Spirit, are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, did any of you notice in today's passage the tone starts to seem to shift? Like there's a little light coming through. It's hopeful. I love the phrase in this passage, as it turned out. Did that grab you? It made me think of the word providence. I tend to stay away from using that word. I think people use it as luck or chance or fortune, and it is absolutely not what it means. When I think about providence, I think about where I used to live. I used to live in the Boston area. Actually, I lived south of Boston between Boston, Massachusetts, and Providence, Rhode Island. And I took the commuter rail into the city every day. It's pretty common on the East Coast to commute by train. And when you take the train, it's probably digital now, but the train conductor would call out every station as we pulled out of Boston when I would be heading home from work. And there was one conductor that was a super happy guy, and he'd practically sing the stations. I remember him coming on the speaker as we pull out of Boston. He says, "Welcome to the Providence line. We will be making stops in Ruggles, Route 28, 128, that was mine, Canton Junction, Sharon, Mansfield." He would go on through the list, and then he'd say, "Providence, Providence, Rhode Island." So that's what I've been thinking about this week. It's like, Providence. So you know what I had to do? I had to go look up, why is Providence, Rhode Island named Providence? It was named that way to thank God for his protection and guidance. Roger Williams, a Puritan theologian, in 1636 named the town or what village of Providence in honor of God's merciful providence on him and his followers who sought religious exile from the Massachusetts Bay Colony, which you can go Google, that's a whole other story. Anyway, today I'm singing Providence, Providence of God, right? Aren't we seeing the unseen hand working as it turns out in the story of our two widows and Ruth too? As it turns out, is about the providence of God at work in their story. We have been saying and proclaiming God does good work in the darkness. Yahweh is still king. The Lord Almighty is sovereign and merciful, unchanging in his nature, even during calamity and tragedy and famine and times of affliction. So let's look into the story and talk about what's shifting. Our two destitute widows have responded to the invitation to return back to the community of God. They're back in Naomi's hometown, Bethlehem Ephrathah, but how are they gonna survive? Is it possible they could even thrive because they've returned to the Lord and his people? Today's scripture is Ruth 2, and there's three divisions. First, Boaz notices Ruth. Secondly, Ruth notices Boaz's kindness and favor to her. And then thirdly, Naomi notices Boaz's kindness. I just keep thinking, I bet she did. Naomi totally notices what's going on here. So far in the book of Ruth, Naomi has been in the forefront, but today she kind of moves into the background and her daughter-in-law Ruth moves into the foreground. And in chapter 1, Ruth makes this beautiful pledge, devoting herself to Naomi and Naomi's people and Naomi's God, right? She says to Naomi, "I'm going to go where you go, where you die, I will die, and your God is my God." And the town is stirred up by this women's return, and Naomi giving herself a new name. She calls herself Mara, or bitter. And even in that name, she's acknowledging that God is sovereign over the affliction in my life. So let's see what happens next. First division, Boaz notices Ruth. And I'd like to read verses 1-3 for us. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. So, right at the top of our passage, we meet someone new, and we find out some great news. Naomi is not without family. There's a man named Boaz, and he's a man of standing, which translated from Hebrew is actually a man of great wealth. He's a landowner in Bethlehem, and Boaz is Naomi's husband's clan. So we've been talking about what names mean, and it's not actually clear. It's a little bit uncertain what Boaz's name mean, but I did read that it could mean strength. But as a common word in Hebrew, it's a word that means a pillar in front of the temple. So I thought, think about Boaz as a pillar in God's house. Boaz experienced provision and prosperity from God even during the famine in Bethlehem. Now, Ruth the Moabite, so right away here in chapter 2, we're reminded again, Ruth is a foreigner. She's chosen the God of Israel, but she is a foreigner living in Israel. She chose to remain with Naomi and Naomi's God, but the constant mention of her heritage really does make us realize she's a foreigner. Ruth asks Naomi if she can please go to the field and glean or gather the harvest behind the harvesters. And Ruth, she really humbly asks her mother-in-law if she can go to give them something to sustain them, to give them something to eat. So as we read in our lesson, we went back to Leviticus 19, we saw that God's instruction for harvesting was to not go quite to the edge of the field, like think about cutting corners, maybe that's where that phrase came from, and to not go a second time over the field. If you drop something, don't go back and pick it up, because that is all to be left for the poor and the needy to gather. And Ruth and Naomi are very poor and in need. They're on their own. They're widows without an income or a male family member to help provide even food for them. Isn't this beautiful? In the Lord's way, in his instruction, farmers are commanded to be generous, and the poor are active and working for food with dignity. Gleaning was the only option for Ruth. She knows this, and Naomi says, "Okay, go ahead, daughter." And I kind of love that. She's using family language for Ruth. I imagine Naomi has been teaching God's instruction to Ruth, how to live, what his laws are. And Ruth knows the Lord has made a way for her to go and glean for them to have an existence and survive. Ruth is humble, willing, hardworking. I'm thinking gleaning and gathering grain by hand in the heat would be kind of backbreaking work. When I was growing up, my mom would talk about, my parents grew up on farms in Minnesota, and she had to pick rocks from the field in the spring. Oh, somebody's nodding, somebody else from the Midwest. I think they have machines that do this now, but that was like the most dreaded thing they had to do in the spring. This is the same thing, bending over and picking up every single stalk of grain and carrying it yourself. But Ruth wanted to find favor in someone's field and work for Naomi to have food. It's spring, we know that from chapter 1. They've arrived just as the barley harvest has started. And as it turns out, Ruth happens to come into Boaz's field, their family member's field. He's likely a cousin or a nephew of Elimelech, but we don't really know how he's related. But as it turns out, he's more than just a family member, which we're going to keep talking about. But now I'd like to read verses 4-7. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you," they answered him. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. And she said, 'Please let me glean among and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except a short rest in the shelter." So just then, as Ruth finds favor in a grain field and is gleaning, just then, as it turns out, here comes Boaz. And I really love how he, a wealthy landowner, speaks blessing to those that work for him, to the harvesters. He sees them, he acknowledges them, and asks the Lord to bless them. I think we're already starting to see his heart and his character in that. Boaz is a wealthy man of standing. He's a godly man, and they bless him in return. And can't we tell a lot about someone in authority by how they lead and how those they lead respond to them? Maybe you've had a kind manager or leader who really blessed you, and you really wanted to bless in return. And Boaz notices Ruth. There's someone new in the field, and he asks his overseer what her story is. Who is she? Who's her family? Who's her husband? The overseer shares with Boaz, she requested respectfully and humbly if she could glean in our field, and then she's worked all day, taking only one break in the shade. Our gal Ruth is young and strong and not afraid of sunshine and hard work or sacrifice. I really believe her motivation here is to provide for Naomi. So when have you been in a position to take up work to provide for family, maybe sacrificially providing for in-laws or even a widow in your family? And how did you respond to that sacrifice that was needed? Ruth's humility and her willingness and respectfulness and sacrifice are very noticeable. Ruth's service to her mother-in-law is noticeable and noteworthy. Ruth doesn't just happen onto Boaz's field. The unseen hand of God is at work. It's God's providence at work in her life. Providence, providence of God. So what does providence mean? I have a great Bible dictionary, so I'm going to kind of quote from that. The providence of God is God's support, care, and supervision of creation from the beginning through all eternity. So the historical, theological term providence means nothing short of the universal, sovereign rule of God. It's God's working out his plan. It's the unseen plan of God, his hand weaving together circumstances of our lives and other lives so that it turns out for the best and may even further his greater plan. Our first truth today is the Lord's providential care is on me, guiding my steps as I humbly follow him, as I follow his way. His providential care is on me, guiding my steps as I follow him. So maybe this is a good time, a good week, a good day for you to take a pause and think about as it turned out in your own life. Can you look back and you see his unseen hand and his care and his support and his guidance in your life over and over? I'm going to say that I've just lingered in that place. Do you see his providence in your life? And you know, Amy so beautifully asked us last week, is there a pain that the Lord is asking you to surrender? Maybe there's pain that's blocking you from seeing his providence. This is a great time to ask your group to pray for you, that you could see that if you have a hard time seeing his providence in your life. Well, we see the providence of God in Boaz's life too. It's providential that just then he's right there to see Ruth on her first day. So let's keep going in our story. Division 2, Ruth notices Boaz's kindness. The tone continues to shift. There's hope. There's light peeking through the darkness and bitterness and destitute circumstances of these two women. I'd like to read verses 8 and 9. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I've told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." Boaz shows kindness to Ruth. He calls her daughter, which is a polite way of addressing Ruth. It's actually a polite way to address a young woman. There's a warmth toward her already, and he's kindly directive. He says, "Don't go into another field. Stay right here with the women who work for me." Boaz even instructs the men not to touch her. This makes us realize how vulnerable these two widows are, especially her as a foreigner. He doesn't just make her feel welcome, but safe. He also says she can take water from the water he provides to his servants. He is kind, above and beyond what God's instruction says is to be done for the poor in her situation, and she notices. How does she respond? She bows down with her face to the ground, the humblest position, and asked why she would have found favor or grace with him, that he would take notice of her, a foreigner. He's treating her with respect and recognizing her and paying attention to her, and she's a Moabite. Remember, Israelites were not to make friendship or treaty with Moabites. And she's a widow, she's poor and destitute. It must have been constantly on Ruth's mind that she was a Moabite, a foreigner. She's chosen the God of Israel, but she's not an Israelite. And one scholar pointed out, and I hadn't really thought about this, but think, Ruth doesn't ask why all the hard things had happened to her as we move through her story, but she does ask why this good thing has come to her through Boaz. Why does she know the grace and kindness from him in his field? But then there's Boaz. His mother in his lineage is, lineages in the Bible scriptures sometimes skip generations, but in his lineage was also a foreigner who we know and love. Boaz's mother or grandmother or great-grandmother is Rahab, the prostitute from Jericho who hung the scarlet cord from her window to be saved by the God of Israel when the evil city of Jericho was destroyed. Imagine Boaz growing up and hearing the amazing story of your mother or a mother in your family being saved by the Lord graciously and compassionately. Did being raised by women who were foreigners or who chose to take refuge in the Lord shape Boaz's character and faith? I think most definitely. Did the compassion and grace of God that was shown to Rahab trickle down in the generations of her family in the form of kindness to women and foreigners? So Boaz tells Ruth, "I have been told all about you and what you've done for Naomi, your mother-in-law. Since you lost your husband, you even left your home, your homeland, your parents to come and live here amongst people you don't know." The town was stirred up, right, when they arrived back. And this is small town life. I grew up in a small town. They have been talking about what's happening. Word has reached him how much she loves and cares for Naomi. Ruth is showing extraordinary faithful love to Naomi. She is showing hesed. And then Boaz blesses Ruth, saying in verse 12, "May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you richly be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." These aren't just words spoken to Ruth. It's a prayer said over her. And she responds that he has put her at ease by speaking kindly to her. Can you imagine the relief of that? You're going to be safe here. Stay here. And she says, "I want to continue to find favor with you," calling herself his servant and acknowledging she's actually lower than the standing of his servants. Verse 12 and 13 are really a beautiful exchange between Boaz and Ruth. It's their first meeting, and I don't know that it's really a romantic meeting. If you know the story, you know what's coming. I think this is a revelation of Boaz's character. in caring for others. He's showing the kindness of God that for those who are placed in his care. Boaz says this in her blessing to her. He says, may your work in my fields be rewarded. If it's translated more directly, he's saying, may your work and your wages be a fullness from the Lord. He's asking the Lord to give her a fullness. And he says, from the God of Israel in whom you have come to seek refuge. So Boaz acknowledges Ruth has put her trust and hope in the God of Israel, in Yahweh, who is compassionate and gracious and long-suffering and faithful, abounding in chesed. Boaz is acknowledging that she's left Moab and all the gods of Moab and has fled to the refuge and protection of the God of Israel, under whose wings you have taken refuge. That brings to mind a hen protecting her chicks, right? And there's a lot of psalms in scripture that use the word refuge. I kind of checked into a few. This is the refuge here is rescue and saving power of God. I put one on your outline. It's Psalm 34:8. Sorry, I put the wrong reference on your outline. It's 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. And Psalm 17:8 says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. I had to include that. That's a verse I used to send to my dad to encourage and pray for him. Yeah, you know what I had to do? I had to Google and look up hens protecting their chicks just to see what that was about. Hens actually protect their chicks under their wings. They provide warmth, shelter from rain, from predators, and comfort. Hens even, I think that God, you are just so amazing in how you created every critter. Hens even respond to danger with specific clucks for chicks to scurry on over and get under their wings for refuge and safety. Is that not amazing? To stay covered by the hen and be safe. This is a powerful image for us of protection and nurturing from our Heavenly Father. Boaz notices Ruth has sought refuge in the God of Israel. He's saying a lot by saying that. Ruth notices the kindness and favor of Boaz that he's showing to her. He calls her daughter. He's treating her as family with dignity and respect. And he says, stay here. You're going to be safe under my watch with the women that are in my care. And he says, take water. He's providing for her needs above and beyond what the law requires him to do. And then he speaks blessing to her for her kindness and her chesed that she has been showing Naomi. And his kindness continues for her. This wealthy man, the landowner, continues to treat Ruth with kindness. At mealtime, Boaz invites her to join him and shares bread with her in a very personal way. She was able to sit with the harvesters, and Boaz offered her some roasted grain. Ruth ate all she wanted, and she had some left over. I don't know if it's that she didn't want to look greedy in front of other people. I'm quite sure it was she wanted to bless Naomi, right? She wanted to share that blessing. Well, when she went back to gleaning, Boaz instructed his men to let her glean and to not embarrass her. That word reprimand means don't put shame on her. Don't dishonor her. She's poor. Let her do this with dignity. Maybe don't let her know you're dropping stalks for her to pick up. He even had his harvesters pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave for her to pick up. He is kindly lightening her load, but increasing her reward for her work. And he grants her permission to join his servants around the meal table. He even lowered himself and ate with the servants. Did you pick up on that? He ate with the servants and served her roasted grain. They're both humble. The providence of God brought Ruth to this field, to Boaz's field, where she can glean and support Naomi and be safe and welcomed. And the providence of God brought Boaz to the field the day that she was there. One scholar pointed out, he became as a servant and cared for her so personally, right? He lowered himself to the level of his servants. He made sure she ate and drank and was satisfied and that she was safe and protected. Boaz is very kindly providing refuge for Ruth, right? Ruth showed chesed toward her mother-in-law, a love that goes way beyond what would be expected or likely, and Boaz shows kindness to Ruth above and beyond what the law was expected of him. Ruth is our unlikely believer, and she's an unlikely recipient of such kindness. Boaz's kindness points to the kindness of our Lord, our Redeemer. So who has shown you exceptional kindness and generosity when you were in great need? And you see it, it was the hand of God working through them. I've been talking with God about this the last couple days. I have known the kindness of others, and it's been a comfort and a care that I know comes from Him. Just recently, someone bought me something really beautiful for my kitchen, not that I really needed, but she knew I would enjoy it, and it was such a comfort, kind of mothering thing to be done for me. It's a simple act, but beautiful. And you know, a couple years ago, I had to have a major surgery, and one of my friends stepped in and took care of me for a week at home when I was helpless. Those are the kindness of God through others, and I know you have your own. Our second truth today is the kindness of believers can be a refuge in the Lord. The kindness of believers can be a refuge in the Lord. So in what ways is the Lord piercing your heart or poking your heart to care and be kind to others with generosity and kindness to them? Maybe, I'm gonna guess there's already somebody in your life that the Lord wants you to do this. Maybe there's a foreigner or an outsider in your work team or at work or in your neighborhood. How is God prompting you to give the extra grain in kindness and generosity to someone? You know what? I know if we pray for this, He's going to give us the opportunity to do it. But we're going to keep going in our story. Let's see how Naomi responds to the day that Ruth has had. Our third division is Naomi notices Boaz's kindness. So Ruth has gleaned, she's gathered grain behind the harvesters in Boaz's field until evening, and then she threshed the barley. So this is a process of separating the seed away from the plant. It's the seed that they need to eat. And it's done by treading or physical, manual labor. It's treading or trampling or beating the barley stalks to get the seeds out. Not easy work. And it was work from sun up to sun down on those long spring and summer days. So at the end of the day, she had an ephah to take home to Naomi. And like, are you like me? I'm like, well, how much is that? Well, it's a half a bushel. Still not helpful. I looked it up. 29 or 30 pounds of barley seeds she took home. It's at least 5 days worth of grain for a household to live on. So that's why I have this bucket here. It would have been like a big fabric. Okay, there's nothing in here. I kind of didn't want to put 30 pounds of something in there. I buy kitty litter 30 pounds at a time, and it's really heavy. I use a cart to move it around. She walked back home to Naomi carrying probably a fabric on her head or her shoulder or something like that after, let's say, probably almost 12 hours in the sun. I have so much respect for Ruth's hard work, don't you? She carries this 30-pound grain back to town to Naomi, and I'm thinking she's weary, tired, sore. She probably has blisters and cuts and a lot of dirt on her from being in the field all day. She also gave Naomi the leftover roasted grain that she saved to her that she hadn't eaten at lunchtime. So let's read verses 19 and 20. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Well, Naomi noticed the kindness and generosity of Boaz that has been shown to her daughter. She came home with at least 5 days worth of food. I just showed you that. And then, of course, I had to look this up. This is remarkable for one day. it was more typical that a man would glean a couple of pounds in one day. So that's my little container over here. This holds 2 pounds of sugar. So look at that. Look at what she came home with. Very not typical. Boaz is a kind man, a man of standing. Not only is he family, he's like next of kin. She had happened onto his field. And Naomi says a blessing on Boaz, noticing Boaz hasn't stopped showing kindness. This is translated from Hebrew as may he be blessed of the Lord. He has not withdrawn his hesed, his kindness. She's talking of Boaz, has shown hesed to their family, the living and the dead. Is this the same Naomi we met in chapter 1? Her tone is shifting. The light is coming in to their circumstances and their destitution, and she is blessing Boaz. Naomi said, he's one of our close relatives, a relative of the closest kind. He is our kinsman, guardian, redeemer. This is the Hebrew word ga'al. It's a very special word. It's someone who is assigned to act as next of kin, to be responsible. And how meaningful to Naomi and Ruth right then, because the kinsman redeemer is one who is responsible or commanded to redeem or buy back the land of relatives in distress to make sure they can stay in the community. And we're going to see the importance of this in the next couple of chapters, so keep diving into Ruth's story. Well, Ruth went on to tell Naomi, oh, he even said, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. So, by the way, that would have been about 4 months. Spring to early summer is the barley harvest and then the wheat harvest. So it's March to June. And of course, Naomi agreed, oh yeah, it would be really good if you stayed there. It's good for you, Ruth, to stay with the women that work for Boaz. Because in some other field, working for someone else, you might be harmed. Again, the vulnerability of these women. And I was reminded in our table discussion, the ESV says you might be assaulted. These women were very vulnerable in their destitution. So it was decided Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she continued to live with Naomi, her mother-in-law. So in what ways have you experienced God's providential work in your life when you least expected it? I think this is what Naomi is noticing and seeing happening. Yahweh had not stopped caring for his people. He had not forsaken or abandoned them. Yahweh was showing his care for these two destitute widows by bringing Ruth to Boaz's field. Providence. Providence of God. He is sovereign. He cares for and is working his plan and his divine purposes for this little family in Bethlehem. His love hasn't abandoned them. His hesed, his faithfulness are on them. And Boaz is a redeemer for them, which I'll say it again. We're going to continue to learn how significant this is in the next couple of weeks. Boaz is a redeemer for Ruth and Naomi. And of course, Boaz points to the bigger story of how Jesus is our Redeemer. The providence of God is part of the wonder and the mystery of loving him and trusting him. As believers, we have the Holy Spirit with us, guiding us. We can trust we are being supported and cared for and guided by our sovereign Lord. It is a matter of staying close, walking in step with his lead and guide, taking refuge in him, sheltering in his presence, waiting, trusting his movement in our life. So where do you think God might want you to stay as his protection and kindness toward you? And I don't necessarily mean a physical stay here, but a spiritual one. We stay close to God on our knees. This has been my conviction. Prayer and a posture on my knees and staying there. We stay close to him in his word, listening, abiding, clinging to him and his word and his promises. We stay close to him in worship, singing, praising, proclaiming his name, serving him. This is how we stay close to him. Our third truth today is every day I'm invited to stay close to my Redeemer, to experience his kindness and trust in his goodness. Every day there's an invitation for us to stay close to Jesus, our Redeemer, to experience kindness and goodness from him. He will not forsake us, and his chesed does not abandon us. So as I bring things to a close today, I'm just going to remind us again of that, the definition of as it turned out, or providence. It's God's support, care, and supervision of all creation from the beginning through all eternity. Providence is about the sovereignty of God, and our God is not just sovereign, he is kind. He shows kindness to us through others who follow him. So I have some suggestions of what you might want to glean or gather in the next day or two in your life, gleaning the providence of God in your life. Maybe you want to be attentive and gather stories of seeing his goodness and kindness even in your everyday life. Maybe you want to glean intimacy and trust by taking a step of staying close to him. Mine is a new prayer practice, like renewing a prayer practice on my knees. Maybe there's a new book of scripture that you want to enjoy. Maybe you want to go on a hunt to gather verses about God's steadfast love. Scripture is littered with that. Maybe you want to glean kindness. Maybe the Lord is poking you today. There's a person on your heart that you know he wants you to show that generosity and kindness of him so that they can know him as a refuge. Let me pray for us. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in you, Lord. We taste and see that you are good. Praise you, God, that you've made yourself known to us in the person of Jesus, that the kindness and love of our Savior is from the heart of you, Father. I pray that you would help us to let go of what stops us from seeing your providence, your unseen hand in our life, Lord, and that you'd give us a new vision for the depth of your steadfast love, your chesed for us, and how you're working in our lives. And I ask this in Jesus' perfect name. Amen.